First of all, I want to acknowledge Rabbi Chalap's presence. He'll be speaking right after Rabbi Adler. Rabbi Yossi Adler also was a close Talmud of the Rav. He was Zorchet to Mimashamashim, I believe. And he's going to speak now.
Rishos HaRav, thank you very much. Just wanted to share a couple of items which the Rav often developed in terms of two ideas. One, it was always impressive how he quoted things in the name of his father and other things in the name of, I heard from father, name of grandfather. And it was amazing which things he was mechadish himself, which things he remembered, which he heard from his father, and which he heard from his father, the name of grandfather. So I just want to give you one sample of something that the Rav once said, which he said, heard in the name of father, in the name of grandfather. And it's related to the machloikas in the Rambam, and most other Rishonim concerning the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So the Gemara in Menachos, well-known Gemara, the Gemara says that Abaye says, mitzvah l'minne yomer, u'mitzvah l'minne shavue. There's a mitzvah to count the days of the yomer, as well as the weeks of the yomer. Rabbanan de Bei Ravashi, manu yome u'shavue. Rabbanan de Bei Ravashi indeed count the days and weeks, as is our practice. Ameimar manu yome v'lo shavue. Ameimar counted only the days, not the weeks. When he said, Omar Zecha Lamikdashu, he said that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is only a Zecha Lamikdash. So there are multiple ways to see the machloikis between Amemar on the one hand and the Rabbanan de Bei Ravashi and Abaye on the other hand. One can fundamentally say that the core machloikis is as to whether or not the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a Deoraisa or not, whether it's independent to the mitzvah of the Korban Omer. Unfortunately, there is no Korban Omer today. So if you believe and you establish a dependence between the counting of the Omer and the bringing of the Korban Omer, so then you come to the conclusion, as Amemer does, that it's only a Zecha LeMikdash, it's only Midrabanan. In order to demonstrate that it's only Midrabanan, so therefore you only count the days and not the weeks. However, Rabbanan de Bei Ravashi, you're of the opinion to count days and weeks, could be of the opinion that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is independent of the Korban Omer. And as a result, if it's a separate independent mitzvah, therefore, whether the Mikdash stands or not, and there's an opportunity to be makar of the Korban Omer, nonetheless, the counting of the Omer counts as a separate mitzvah. And in fact, if we remember the Parsha, which we read yesterday, second day of Yontiv, indeed, the mitzvah of Hakravas HaOmer and Sfiras HaOmer are actually two separate parshios in the Torah, which could lead to that conclusion that one is not necessarily dependent upon the other. However, the Rav did explain, and he said that there is a way to assume that everybody agrees that the counting of the Omer is only the Rabbanan, except that the two are arguing what type of a Zecha LeMikdash we establish. Everyone agrees that counting the mitzvah of Omer today is only Zecha LeMikdash. Question is, what type of a Zecha LeMikdash do we have? There is one type of a Zecha LeMikdash where you try to commemorate life the way it existed within the Beis HaMikdash. So on Sukkot, for example, we take our lulav and our makif, the bima, trying to recreate the process of hakafa of the mizbeach. Same thing on the seventh day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah. We take our aravos and our makif, the bima, again to commemorate life the way it existed in the mikdash. That's one type of a Zecha LeMikdash, where you try to engage in an activity to promote, to recreate life the way it was in the Mikdash. Then there is another type of Zecha LeMikdash, where you acknowledge and recognize that the Beis HaMikdash is Bechur Bana, and you engage in an activity to commemorate the fact that unfortunately the Mikdash is no longer with us. So the debate between Rabbanan and the Bei Ravashi and Amemar could be that it's focused both on that it's only a Zecha LeMikdash, but they're debating what type of a Zecha LeMikdash is it. If you believe it's a zecher l'kiyum ha-mikdash, we're trying to recreate the mitzvah the way it existed in the mikdash. Well, in the mikdash, they undoubtedly counted the days as well as the weeks, because it says tisperu chamishim yoyim and sheva shabbosos tamimos teyena. So we would reenact the mitzvah of Omer the way it was done in the mikdash. However, Amemar believes that the counting of the Omer is not a commemoration of the way life was in the Mikdash. It's designed to focus that the Beis HaMikdash is b'churbana. It's a mitzvah essentially highlighting avelus of the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer with us. How do you demonstrate that the mitzvah is a zecher of the mourning of the destruction of the Mikdash? You do the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. You only count the days and not the weeks. That's what the Rav once suggested, and he tied this into the famous Balamor at the end of Psachim, why there is no Shechiyanu recited in the context of counting the Omer, because all of the days of the Omer are dedicated to Avelus, not because of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students, but rather essentially it's a Zecher L'Churban HaMikdash. But then the Rav cited Rav Chaim, and he said the following, that the Rambam could agree that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is linked to the Korban Omer, and yet still maintain that today it's a Din D'Oraisa, based on the following halacha. We know that the counting of the Omer, even Bizman HaMikdash, preceded the Hakrov of the Korban Omer. The counting of the Omer takes place at night. Always, at night. And the Hakravas HaOmer took place during the day. So, said Rav Chaim, the trigger of the counting of the Omer is not the Hakrava of the Korban Omer, it's the Efsharut, it's the possibility of bringing the Omer the next day. If you have the capacity to bring the Korban Omer the next day, then that previous evening, the mitzvah of counting the Omer is triggered. Hence, as Rabbi Reichman mentioned, the Rambam is of the opinion that the second Kedusha of the Mikdash has never batel, even the first Kedusha of the Mikdash is never batel, and that makrivin korbanos afal pi shein bayis. You could actually be makriv a korban in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash. All you need is a mizbeach. So in theory, it is possible, in theory, that we could have been makriv the Korban Omer yesterday during the day, on the 16th day of the month of Nisan. So if we could have been makriv the Korban Omer on the 16th day of Nisan, automatically the previous night, one is chayiv midoraisa to engage in the mitzvah of counting the Omer. So here the Rav analyzed the Machloikis in Menachos the way he saw it. Then he quoted Rav Chaim and said that that it is possible that the Rambam still maintains the link. That even though you don't have to say that the Rambam says that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not linked to the Korban Omer in order to make it a Doraisa. It is linked to the Korban Omer. However, as I said, it's the possibility of having the opportunity to bring the Korban Omer that generates the Chiyuv, and that possibility still exists even today. One thing that the Rav like to do very frequently is see patterns emerging in various areas of Halacha. So one which he developed right on the Haggadah is something that he used quite frequently in many other venues. The question debated by all Rishonim, why is there no bracha for Sipitzias Mitzrayim? So there are dozens of answers to this question, many of them very difficult answers, why there is no bracha of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. Some say it's the bracha Asher Ga'alanu, which is the bracha. Others say, because you already yotzei, when you make Kiddush, you said Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, you already yotzei the mitzvah of Sipitzias Mitzrayim. Very difficult answers. So the Rav suggested, based on something he said hundreds of times, that any time you have a mitzvah which is established within the framework of brachot, there is no birchas hamitzvah associated with that mitzvah. For example, there is no birchas hamitzvah recited on Kriyashma. We don't say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah osav, tzivanu likro et shema. Why? Because Kriya Shema is set within the Mizgeret, within the framework of Birchus Kriya Shema. You say Yotzer Or and Ava Rabba, and then at the end, Goal Yisrael. So since there is a unit of Brachot surrounding the Kriya Shema, therefore there is no Birchus HaMitzvah that is recited to fulfill that mitzvah. In fact, Rabbi Reichman's son Sefer on Maseches on the Rav Shulam Brachos quotes Rav Tzemach Gaon, who says that if indeed, according to Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, that if you daven Marav early, right, daven Marav early, light a shul daven Marav early, and you're not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema together, I'll say that brachos, and it's independent. You should make a bracha under those circumstances. Based on the fact that you would not have the Kriya Shema under those circumstances within the mizgeret of Kriya Shema. Same thing is true. Why there's no Birchas HaMitzvah for Birchas HaMazon? Because Birchas HaMazon is the recitation of three brachos in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So if the mitzvah is designed in the framework of brachos, it doesn't have its own Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Rav said quite simply, the Haggadah has been established in the format of having four brachos recited. The bracha of Kiddush, the bracha on the Haggadah, the Arba Kosos primarily are designed, according to the Balei HaToses exclusively, according to the Rambam, in addition to drinking, also to be Mesadeh Dalet Brachas Alakos. So as a result, the format, the structure is to recite four brachos, Kiddush, the Haggadah, Birchas HaMazon, and a bracha of Hallel. Hence, it's not necessary to have its own Birchas HaMitzvah due to the fact that the framework of Sipitzius Mitzrayim is within the Megeret of Brachos. The Rav once used this to explain a very difficult Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara says that Sho'alu Talmidim es Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua Bameh Erachta Yomim. The students asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, why did you deserve to have blessed with longevity? So Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua answered three things. He said, Lo asisi beis haknesses kapandria, I didn't make the Beit Knesset a shortcut. Lo posati al roshi am kodesh, I didn't literally step on my students, because at that time the students used to sit on the floor, and if the Rebbe would come in, it would look at a distance as if he's stepping on their heads. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua made it a habit, he was the first one at the shir. He came first, and then the students assembled. So because of the dignity that he demonstrated for his Talmidim, he was Zoycha for Arichas Yamin. And then the third thing, Lo Nasasi Kapai B'loi Bracha. I never recited Birchas Kahanim without a bracha. So the Rav asked, this was in the Maria Shir when he was doing Megillah, and he said, how many Kahanim are here? People, 25 people raising. How many Kahanim have ever recited Birchas Kahanim without a bracha? Everybody said, of course we make a bracha. So what's the great chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua that he was deserving arichas yamim shelo nasasi kapai b'loi bracha? So the Rav said, he looked at Marsha, a very difficult explanation. So the Rav said very simply, Birchas Kahanim did not have a Birchas HaMitzvah. Why? Because it's within the mizgeret of a bracha. It's recited in the middle of Shmon Esrei, of Chazaras HaShatz. So it doesn't need its own Birchas HaMitzvah. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua was misaking the bracha of Birchas Kahanim, because Kohanim were becoming a little swell-headed, and as a result, becoming a little arrogant, and he wanted to teach them a lesson. And therefore he instituted the bracha, Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushaso She'al Aharon, V'tzivanu Levarech Es Amo Yisrael B'Ahava. Kohanim, you're what we call in Yiddish a shik yingle. You're an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to do what he says. That's why after the Birchas Kohanim, what do we say? Ribbono shel Olam, what do you say? What does the Kohanim say? Asisi mashi gazarta aleinu. That's what the Kohen says. I've done everything that you've decreed. Why does he have to make such a statement? Because he shouldn't think that he is the Mivarech of Knesset Yisrael, that the Mivarech of Knesset Yisrael happens to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hence again, it fits into the pattern of why it did not warrant initially its own bracha, and for this Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua is entitled to his chelek in Olam Haba and Arichus Yamim actually on this world. Another illustration of how the Rav saw patterns. You have the machloikis in the Haggadah, whether or not the machloikis in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai as to how much Hallel should be recited before the meal. Beit Shammai says you only say the first paragraph, Halleluka Alav the Hashem, and Beit Seis Yisrael Mimitzrayim is recited on the bracha of Hallel, Kais Revi. And Beis Hillel says the way we do it, you say Halleluka and Beit Seis Yisrael first, and then you resume with Loilano. So what's the kernel of the machloikis? So the Rav suggested in the Shurim, again in Maria, when he gave Shurim on the Haggadah, and that's one thing about the Rav, he always made sure that his Talmidim not only knew Gemara, not only did that very well, but that we should be sensitive to the Machzor, and be sensitive to Haggadah, and be sensitive to davening. That was something that he spent an awful lot of time with in public shiurim, as well as in the yeshiva, to make Talmidim have a better understanding of ritual that goes on within the framework of various Yomim Tovim, liturgy and ritual. So here he said, Beit Shammai is very simple. If you're going to recite a bracha on Hallel, the fourth kais on Hallel, so the paragraph that describes the mechayiv of tonight should be recited in conjunction with the fourth kais. Bitseis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim should be recited during the fourth kais. So you have to say some Hallel at the beginning, because you said, Lefika hanachnu chayavim lahoidos ol ha'alel. So you say, Halleluka alav de Hashem. But the single paragraph that highlights the dramatic exodus of Mitzrayim, that should be said in the conjunction with the kos that is dedicated for, excuse me, for the recitation of Hallel. Therefore Shammai says that's the way it's done. Hillel says no. The Hallel for Yetzias Mitzrayim already is formulated even before you eat. Because you're supposed to say, Lefika hanachnu chayavim lahoides ala, why? Asher what the HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, Haitzianu me'avdus l'cheirus, me'yagin l'simcha, me'avelus l'yomtov. That's all the drama of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So to thank you for that which took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim already has been accomplished with the brief Hallel prior to the meal. So why do I resume Hallel afterwards? So the Rav said that the principle that he used so often, that whenever a person is obligated to recite Hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one thing, it triggers a Hoidah for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever did. So the Mechayev Pesach at night is Yetzias Mitzrayim. But that could have been covered by having said B'tzeis Yisrael the first before the meal. The rest of the Hallel, according to Hillel, is for other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. In general, that he's noisim lechem lechol basar. Not only, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And einonu maspikim lehoidois lecha Hashem Elokeinu, for everything that you does. Hatovol she'asisa imanu, for everything. And this idea we see so often. When somebody engages in Birchas HaGomel, he says, HaGomel lechayavim tovot, Shegmolani kol tov. Not tov zeh. Why? Kol tov, because once you're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this miracle, you're obligated to thank Him for everything that He did. So you acknowledge during Birchas HaGomel everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. The fourth bracha, Birchas HaMazon. The Mechayiv is the recitation of Birchas HaMazon for the food, and then you say a general bracha, Hoda'a Klalit, Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yetiv Lanu. So one thing that the Rav always tried to see was, you take an idea and try to see the patterns that existed in other areas of halacha, and under those circumstances you get a better grasp of what's happening in that particular area. I'll just conclude with one element of a drush. which the Rav developed an important yesod. In the Haggadah we say, "Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu," we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the proof text that we take is from Shemot at the end of Perek Bet, "Vahi bayamim rabim ahein, vayonchu b'nei somen avoda, vayizaku v'tal shavasom el Elokim." The Rav once asked the question, what happened in year 210 that didn't happen in year 140? What exactly happened at that time that the Geula should have been triggered at that particular time? So the standard answer is, well, we were in the Memtesh Shari Tumma, and had he waited any longer, there would be no Am Yisrael to redeem. That's, the Rav's very nice. But the Rav said from the text itself, you should come to a different conclusion. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu react at that time? Because they turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the very first time. Nowhere in the text does it indicate that previously, in year 140 or 170 or 190, that they were mispallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So perhaps they entertained thoughts that the exodus from Mitzrayim will take place with their own ingenuity. They'll bribe them, there'll be a slave revolt, whatever it is. They finally come to the conclusion that there is no way to get out except to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And immediately, what happens immediately thereafter? Vayitzkor Elohim es Brisai, es Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Next pasuk, u'Moshe ha'yaro etzom. Let's get Moshe ready, available for what? For the mission, to help be the goel of Klal Yisrael. So the lesson that Am Yisrael learned here is that if you are totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will He do? He will respond at that particular time when you recognize there's no one else to turn to. And this, felt the Rav, is the basis of the well-known halach of Smichas Gula L'Tfila. Not the simple psukim the way Rashi quotes that it's the last pasuk of Perek Yutes, Hashem Tzuriv Go Ali, first pasuk of Perek Chaf, Yancha Hashem B'Yayim Sarah. So the Rav said more fundamentally. This he said at the University of Pennsylvania, where he spoke about prayer and redemption, a halachic equation. And he said, this is the idea that we have to do to come to the same idea. If you want to engage in tefillah, you have to recognize that there is no one else to turn to. When you recognize that there is no one else to turn to, then you have a right to engage in tefillah. So if a person humbles himself to the point that Am Yisrael did at that time, so there was the reverse. It was tefillah which led to geula. We do the reverse. We recreate that situation of demonstrating our total dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we have the opportunity to daven, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond just as He did for Klal Yisrael at that particular time.